Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, my name is Brenda McCoy, also known as Lady Brenda, and you are listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, we'll be talking to Victoria Gross, who will be speaking to us about the history and practice of palmistry. Before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-hosts. Maureen, how are you doing tonight?
You hesitated, didn't you?
I don't know if I want to know. I'm kidding.
No, Freudian slip. I'm okay, Brenda. How are you?
Beautiful day, and my garden's growing really awesomely. So
it is nice. It is very nice today. It must be warm.
So tell us
though.
About yourself, Maureen.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have, as you... you and I are—we run in a parallel way. We're from the old school. I utilize tarot as my main guy or girl, and I feel that tarot is a symbolic record of human experience. And I help people in—I love helping people with spiritual development. That is one of my main favorite things to do. But I also am well versed in other things, and. My work is what I must do. I didn't think about having to do it. And I'm self-taught in every way. I'm always learning new things. And I work over at PsychicAccess.com with the rest of you lovely individuals. Thank you.
And Maureen is a true authentic. To use her coined phrase, she's a true authentic.
Thank you, Brenda. So are you.
And Stephen.
Hi, Brenda. How are you?
Fine. How are you doing today?
Quite well, thank you. Quite well.
So tell us about what you do.
Well, I also am a tarot reader. I use a blend of astrology, numerology, and Kabbalah to really penetrate the issue, the problem, really probe into it. And often it produces surprising results. So, and that's really the most gratifying part, when I can help lead an asker to that central ore of information and truth. You know, that's really, really great. And I'm honored to be doing that over at PsychicAccess.com with all of you wonderful people. I'm very glad to be here tonight as well.
And we're glad to have you, Stephen.
Thank you.
And we have a guest host tonight. Carmen, how are you doing?
I'm great, thanks. Enjoying the weather out of 8 months of winter here in Canada.
Oh, really? What's it like there?
We are a very, very social bunch. We have lots of parties. But it's been 8 or 9 months of being snowed in. That's for sure. It's great. It's a little, it's an intense country. Because we're all in the same epicenter of the world. Like, Canada only has, you know, 5 main cities. So we all know each other. Great.
Well, we're glad to have you tonight as a guest host. And what do you do on Psychic Access?
I'm an empath. So for those of you, many of you probably have heard of it in terms of compassion. But what I do this as, what I use it for is, to understand people, to work out the motivations, not to manipulate them. It's not like telepathy, but as you know, it's kind of like telepathy, the ability to intuit people's emotions. And so that's my specialty. I've been doing that for almost 15 years now.
Well, thank you and welcome.
Thank you for having me. Great to meet you guys.
And then myself, I'm a predictive psychic. I I read the tarot cards, the crystal ball, and the playing cards, and I specialize in dates, times, and places, and I work with everybody else here on PsychicAccess.com. Okay, tonight, our guest, Victoria Gross, was introduced to the world of spirit through the Spiritualist Church in 1984. She began an avid study of tarot, palmistry, psychometry, energy work, and psychic development. By 1987, she was doing psychic readings for the public. In 2001, she formed the North County Tarot Society, where people could gather for workshops and hear guest speakers talk about tarot. In 2002, she attended the Arthur Findlay College of Mediumship in Stanston, England, to further her education in the psychic arts. Victoria's psychic interest led her to paranormal investigation, where in 2009 to 2010 she was the lead story producer for the Bio Channel specials and the first season of My Ghost Story. She's currently working as lead story producer for two pilot shows called Case Files Unknown and Case Files UFO, and she's in the process of writing a new book called Psychic Skills for Everyday Living, also published by Schiffer. For more information on Victoria, you can visit her Facebook page, Victoria Gross. And I want to welcome you, Vicki. Victoria, how are you?
Hey, Brenda. Thank you for having me back. It's good to be on your show. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. And we're thrilled to have you because we're going to be talking about a fascinating subject that was one of my very first loves in the psychic arts, and that's palmistry.
Oh, I know. I'm so excited about tonight's talk. And actually, it was you that introduced me to palmistry and encouraged me to study it back in the early 90s.
And you really ran with it. I believe you put together a workbook,
and like
didn't
you said, it was your first love. There's something about it that that is a love. And it's just like with anything else that we study, like with the tarot or a lot of the other arts of divination, it's endless what we can learn. And that's not to discourage anybody, but it's just to encourage them that we don't know everything all the time, and it's just something that we can, you know, keep learning as we grow and we progress in our lives.
And so why do you think people are fascinated by palmistry? Because they could take it with them, or they can always look at their palm, or what has your reactions been when you read people's palms and stuff? They really want to know, don't they?
They really do. People love to have their palms read. You know what? Because it's just connected to them. It's a part of them. I mean, the palm, our hands are like the books of our lives. And everything is written in them, you know, past, present, and probable future, you know. And the lines change as we change because they're the end of the nerve endings from the brain. And people are always fascinated. And as you know, the first two questions that people ask, you know, is, you know, will I get married or when will I get married and how many children will I have? People always want to know those two things up front. But we find out so much more in the hands because we not only look at the lines. I mean, the lines are a major part, but that's not the only part. We look at the shape of the hands, the texture, the nails, the fingers, the length, the size, the coloring, and, you know, the markings on the hand. They tell us a whole myriad of things. And I think for the fact that people can have it done right there, like, say, if they're at a party or, the Renaissance Fair or even a private reading, they take their hands with them, and they're always studying their hands after that. They're always looking at their hands. So it's very intriguing for people, whereas if they get a card reading or, you know, I also do the crystal ball like how you do, you know, they walk away, they don't have that with them.
Yeah, then that's really true, too. And I have found, like, when I was single before I met my husband and some guy you're dating finds out that you're a psychic, the very first thing they do is stick out their hand. Have you noticed that?
Well, you know, it's true. People do that. That's why for years, I really stopped telling I was a palmist for that reason. You almost get smacked in the face because the palm, you know, their hand just comes right up to your face. So I would always, you know, say I do everything else, and then, you know, if they're interested in reading, I give them my card and it'd have palmistry on it. But you have to be really careful or stand back when you talk to a person and tell
them
you're
a palmer. You can get hit in the forehead pretty much, huh?
Yeah, I know. Sure,
okay, well then tell me something about myself, you know? It's so funny.
It is.
So what are some of the first clues to a person's personality that are revealed in a palm?
Well, when we do a palm reading, what I do and what most palms do is we're going to look at the hands, the shape of the hands, because there's different shapes. And that will give us an idea. And again, for every positive in the hand, there's a negative. And we can't just take one aspect of the hand and say that's a person's personality or characteristic. I mean, that's having enough information to be dangerous. We have to... So let me back up before we even read the hands, is we have to look at the hands, both hands, as a book. And to read both hands as a book and to read them in a total essence. So the different categories of hands, there's six main categories of hands. There's a square hand, a spatulate. A square hand is more of like an earth hand. That would be somebody that's working with their hands a lot. A person with a spatulate hand, and again, just think of a spatula that you use to flip pancakes. It's that kind of shape. That would be a person that would be more adventurous. A person with a conic hand, they may be more thick at the base and thinner at the top of the fingers. Those are people that are in the arts and entertainments. A philosophic hand would be very long and narrow with probably knotty fingers. You know, that person is thinking a lot. A psychic hand is very very soft and narrow and very pointed. The energy goes through very easily. And then an elemental hand, which you really would not see very much, that would be a very base hand. And that person is very... materialistic and, let's say, brutal. But let me back up. Again, we're not going to draw somebody's personality out of the shape of their hands, and nobody has a pure hand. So the seventh category that we have is a mixed hand. So we'll find different mixtures, like, say, maybe in the psychic hand you'll find conic fingers or a spatulate fingernail on one finger and not the rest. So everything is a mixture. So the first thing we do is we take a look at that hand and evaluate what type of hand it is, what's the predominant category that it's in, and again, definitely most people would be mixed. And then you read the fingers, the shape, the length of the palm, the length of the fingers, the shape of the fingers, the fingernails, which is hard because a lot of women have acrylic nails, so that's, you know, kind of out the door there. And then we go for the lines because the lines will show the energies where the shape and the coloring and the fingers will show more of the personality of the characteristics. There are two schools of thought. Some people teach that you read the left hand as what you've come into and the right hand as the present and future, what you're doing with the potentials of that left hand. There's another school of thought that says, you know, read the dominant hand as the present and future and the non-dominant hand as the past. I take to that school of thought being left-handed. I have found that to be, in my years of reading hands, I found that has work for me, and that's the school of thought I take. But again, since we're reading both hands as a book, I don't think it really makes a difference because we're going to interject our psychic ability also into this to get that accurate information.
And, you know, that's really, I'm glad you brought that up because as a palm reader myself, you know, when I read a palm, since I've been doing it for a number of years, you know, you pick up on so much. It's not even only the visual. You sometimes
exactly.
Look into those lines and you see patterns, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
you
exactly.
Just...
And I think a lot of times for a lot of us that have been reading for so many years and we're reading also on a psychic level, sometimes I know for me I have to go back through my books because I'm like, you know, you're reading more on a psychic level where like the palm and the cards, any because I'm a visual person and I'm a Taurus, mm-hmm. I like tactical things. I want to touch something. You know, they're a starting point for me. But I, as you, you know, we both have talked about this before. We believe in education of any of the arts of divination. And I know both of us have endless amount of books. We have great libraries of books. And we've taken a lot of classes. We've taught a lot of classes. So there's so much, not only that we want to have that foundation, but we do read into it on a psychic level.
We do, because I don't think that we can. We can help it at some point, especially if you touch the palm. You know, certain impressions will come to you at that point too. Now, you had mentioned a couple different schools of thought, and you know, years ago I was working. Remember the Whole Life Expos that we used to have? Whole Life Expos, and there was a palmist there, and he was of gypsy descent, and he read palms differently than anybody that I ever knew. And I don't know if you've ever come across this, but he did a very, his approach to palm reading was very astrological.
A lot is. I mean, and you look at the palm itself is divided up into astrological signs, or, you know, there's the plane of Venus and the plane of Mars, and then we have the, you know, the index fingers, Jupiter, and the middle fingers, Saturn. So there is a lot of, you know, astrological influence into this, and I know a lot that the gypsies do this. And, you know, because palmistry is so ancient, I mean, it started, we think it started in India and went to China and all different countries. I mean, there are different schools. I mean, Indian palmistry is different than what we know as Western. So I think it's wonderful that there are all these different schools. And for me, I've looked into them a little bit, but they it's enough just to do the Western palmistry. But I think we need to realize that there are different schools, and if we're prescribing to that school, we work into that, you know, we stay with that framework, and we get our information. And, yeah, there is a lot of astrology. I think it's wonderful.
The fingers have three sections, and each one is astrological. And yeah, it was pretty interesting the way he did it. And I'd have to say, it was different.
Yeah.
So now, do you ever come up with, and I don't know, you know, this is something probably for advanced work, after you've been reading palms for a long time, you see an awful lot of things that probably aren't in the palmistry books, but you notice, and it always seems to be something that, if you see it, it holds true to every other palm that you see it, like some kind of mark or like a shape. Has that ever happened to you?
Well, yeah, and there I have seen things that, you know, I can't find in palmistry books. And you do see things that aren't listed, yes.
And people are always asking you, they always want to know about their lifeline. What are the major lines in the palm? I know that our listeners are want to know if they're looking at, because you know what? I guarantee they're looking at their palms right now.
Well, it's funny because right before you called, I was looking at mine. I'm like, you know, I haven't really looked at mine with a magnifying glass for a while. And, you know, I've spent the last 15 minutes, and it's just so intriguing. I was so intrigued by my own palms. But, you know, but when we talk about the major lines, the first thing, besides the marriage and children, which I'll talk about, because those are not major lines, but, you know, people do want to know about that, is, and you probably have had this happen, people, they show you their palm, it's like, how long am I going to live?
Oh, I
am
know,
I gonna
and,
die?
And it's like, you know, they're looking at their lifeline in a totally different way. So how do you handle that?
Well, I just say, well, eventually you probably will die, you know. I mean, I don't know when, but, you know, I'm sure one day it will happen. You know, the lifeline just shows the vitality of the person. And I've seen very elderly people with short lifelines. It has nothing to do with how long we're going to live. it shows the vitality. If the lifeline is really hugging close to the thumb, it shows the person is more introverted. If it's kind of way arching out, they're a little bit more extroverted. There could be breaks in the lifeline that overlap and one goes out further. That means that maybe at that age in that person's life, they'll be more extroverted, or if it goes in, more introverted. So the lifeline just really shows the vitality of the person. The headline is, we can find, that's the line that's in the center of the palm, and it can go straight across or down. If it, you know, straight across, it's a person that's very mental. I mean, he's just on that mental level, because the headline's just going to show us where we're at, mentality, if we're more intuitive, if it goes down, if it slants down, you know, how far does it slant down? Does it slant down to the Mount of Luna, which is opposite? It's on the outside of your hand, let's say, the percussion side of
like
the hand.
Like the pad on the...
Yeah,
that's below the pad below
at the
little finger,
yeah.
The bottom.
So, you know, it goes down. That's more of an intuitive person. So, you know, how long, is it a long headline or short? If it's a short headline, then they are probably don't have that long of a attention span. They're very quick in their judgments. And that's not saying that it's bad. It's just that, you know, there are people that are very... they're quick in their judgments, and they want to go there. They're not going to think something out. But again, for every positive in the hand, there's a negative, and vice versa. So you have to look at other aspects in the hand that may balance that out. The heart line is what people really, you know, the love line, the heart line.
Oh, they all want to know about that. Oh, definitely.
Yeah, that's the line that's closest to the base of the fingers. Now, there's also two schools of this in Western palmistry, that some read it that it starts at the base of the index finger, and some read that it starts at the side of the hand, or like, let's say, under the little finger. I read it, the way that I was taught was that it starts under the little finger, but many books will show differently. So,
oh, you see,
again,
I read it the opposite way.
Yeah,
isn't that
a lot of people do.
And you talked a little bit about the simian crease, that you talked about the headline that goes completely straight across. Those are pretty rare, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, when, especially if you find the simian line where the headline and heart line are together and they go straight across, they're very mm-hmm. rare. And it has, you know, been said that they're usually found on Down syndrome children or adults, but I have seen them on adults that were not Down syndrome.
Oh, me too. I have a client, it's a man. He has two, both hands.
Yeah, it's interesting. And that's a good point, that the lines are going to be different on both hands, except that, you know, sometimes in that situation.
And then I've seen it also when there's only one on one hand and not on the other. So it is pretty interesting. I mean, because everybody's palm, there is no two palms like fingerprints. There are no two palms alike.
Exactly. And so that's the fascinating thing. I think palmistry is hard sometimes to study because you need a lot of hands to study it. I'm not discouraging anybody from studying it, but it's not like tarot where you can practice by yourself a lot. So this is where, you know, I've always had great family and friends that in the beginning it's like, oh, I'm going to look at your palm, you know. And the more palms that you can look at, you can educate yourself. I mean, it's fascinating. It's just endless, all the different types of markings and lines and hands. And it's just, it leaves me speechless sometimes because, as you know, I mean, we've been reading for, you know, 25 plus years, and we've read a lot of hands, and, you know, I've collected Xerox copies of hands through the years, and it always fascinates me.
Well,
and then to try to put it with their sign, and, you know.
And that brings me to my next question. Have you noticed, I know I have, and is there distinct hands or hand types that go along with astrological signs?
Well, I think there are, like, the philosophical hands, I would say, are more with the air signs.
Mm-hmm. The long, thin hands.
Mm-hmm. You know, or even psychic hands could be more into that category, you know. And then with the earth signs, I think we see more of the thicker hands, the practical hands. But I think a lot of it has to do with not only the sun sign, but the moon sign. Because, I mean, I'm a Taurus, I'm an earth sign, but I don't have earth hands, you know. So it's kind of fascinating. But there are, like, the spatula hand would go along with the fire signs. So sometimes we do see that.
I think it's interesting. A lot of times, because it's not only the hand reading, because the hands and the palms are the most predominant, but there's also, we had a guest on that read feet.
Feet oh, wow.
Have lines too. And face reading. And,
yeah.
You know, there's all these different modalities of reading. Of course, the palms are the most fascinating. And have you noticed that one palm has usually more lines than the other one?
A lot of times, yes. Yeah. And I look at that then, you know, which one am I reading as the past, you know? So if a person is right-handed, I'm going to read their left hand as the past. And that really shows you, let's say, the progress of the person, because a person who has a lot of those little fine lines in the hands, you know, we call them spider lines and influence mm-hmm. lines, a lot of times, I mean, that's can be a very highly creative person. That's the positive of that. The negative of that is that that person is usually going through a very anxiety time, burning the candle at both ends and in the middle. There's a lot of energy being dispersed, not focused. And, like, say, if I read a hand, you know, the person's right-handed, and I see in his left hand that's what his hand looks like, but in his right hand there's fewer lines, I know that person's pretty much cleaned up their life, that they're getting more focused, they're getting more directed. So, you know, we can look at our hands and see emotionally what's going on with us, where we're at.
And, So the dominant hand, let me get this. So the dominant hand, this is the way the dominant hand is what is happening now. The left hand, or the non-dominant hand, depending on how you read it, because you're left-handed,
right,
is what will be or what has happened in the past or the possibilities and the potential.
Well, yeah, that's how I read, but there are, you know, there's another school of thought that just says the left is, because our left side is really what we're receiving from the universe.
It's the receiving hand, is right.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So how do you read?
I read the right hand or the dominant hand, depending, because the right hand, if they're right-handed, then the right hand would be, because it's the dominant hand, is what's happening now in their life. It's a reflection of what's happening now. The left hand or the non-dominant hand is what will be, what the potential, the possibilities, things from the past, and things like that. That's how I read it.
So if the person's left-handed, you would read that as the now, then, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, so we read it the same way. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, So, now this is a question that I know a lot of people are going to want to know, because there are certain lines in the palm, when you mentioned them, the heart line, the head line, and the life line. Those are the three biggies, right? You'd have to say that those are the three biggies that everybody's interested in. And, but I always get this question, well, are they going to change? Are these lines going to change? What will happen with these lines? What is your thought on that?
I think they do change. I've seen them change through the years in my own hands and in my clients. And, you know, depending on what's going on with us, I mean, sometimes I've seen them grow longer. Sometimes they seem shorter. I've seen markings appear or disappear. And remember, the amount of, the deeper the line, the amount of life force that is in that line. So if a line is really shallow, there's not a whole life force in there. So So I think a lot of it depends on the person. I don't think we're going to see extreme changes, but I do think we'll see gradual changes. And I do believe that the lines change in our hands as we change. Again, they're the nerve endings to the brain. And so depending on what we're going through, we'll have a lot of lines or not.
Now, what about the faint line that comes up from the bottom of the palm?
The what line?
The faint line. Faint. Comes up next to the lifeline, but comes up through the bottom, from the bottom of the palm, the faint line. Sometimes people have it, some people don't. You ever read that line?
Yeah, and you're right. Sometimes people have them, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they start in the middle of the palm and go up, or sometimes they stop. So it really, or they'll go up and then they'll shift, and then they'll go up again. So, yeah, and they can start anywhere on the palm, as you know. I mean, they can start in the center, start on the edge. Yeah, that's another line that's, some people call it a major line, some people don't. I think the major lines are the three lines, and then the fate line does appear in some palms. It doesn't always. At the health line, that line under the, that can appear at the bottom of the palm going up to the little finger. I mean, that's a misnomer, because if you don't have a health line, it means you're healthier. if you have a health line, it shows you don't have, something's going on with your health.
Well, that's interesting. I've never really even delved into that one. And that's a line underneath the little underneath the finger of Mars, which is the little finger, right?
The little finger, and you it goes down into the it can go anywhere on the palm, the little finger. So,
interesting. I never read that line, and I've been reading palms for a long, long time, and I never really read. So, because it's like it's one of these things like astrology. Wouldn't you say that you could just keep studying and studying and studying and
Oh my gosh, yes.
It's endless.
It's endless, and I don't read every line on the hand. I did not read children lines. Because the marriage lines and the children lines is where people, I think, can really get themselves into trouble. The marriage lines, now we call them relationship lines. People live together. I've seen people married that don't even have them. It's the emotion that's in it. And that's usually on the side of the hand under the little finger. And
exactly.
Somebody may have two or three. That doesn't mean they're going to have two or three marriages. So I think people, that can be really misleading in children lines. I will not read children's in the hands. When people ask me, how many children am I going to have? I always say, how many do you want? You decide. How many do you want?
Oh, you know what? I just jump in and tell them. I don't care.
Well, because children could be not even their children. It could be maybe their adopted children.
Be but they're children. That's just, that's your own preference. That really
is. Yeah, it is.
But I agree with the whole relationship thing, because when I read it, I tell them that the palm shows, a bonding. It doesn't necessarily mean a marriage, but it does mean an emotional bonding.
And I love that. And that's what it is. It is a bonding. It doesn't mean it's a legal marriage. It's an emotional marriage. And that's what I said. I've seen people married that didn't even have a marriage line. So how much emotional bonding was there? But, that's a good way of putting it.
Well, and that is, when you said that you've seen people married that don't even have a marriage line, it's almost like, when people see an astrological chart and they go, oh my God, I've got nothing in the relationship house. That doesn't mean that they'll never have any relationship. It could possibly mean that they have to work harder in that area.
Right.
That's
a very good point.
So tell us about the wrists and the rasselets, and what is a rasselet?
Well, you know what? That's the part that I really don't know. I don't read that much. I mean, I think you could probably tell them more than that because I never really read that. Like how like you were saying, you don't read some lines in the hands. I really don't pay that much attention to them.
I think that's where they show the age. They talk a lot about, how long a person's going to live by the rasolets, which in the rasolets are the lines that encircle the wrists below the palm.
Right.
And the more you have, the longer you live, that type of thing. And you have to just kind of bend your hand over to see how many you have. So.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that I look at it, people ask me about that. And each little thing, is supposed to be 20 years. Yeah.
Wow.
If you bend the palm down and you see how many times that it creases, each little section is 20 years.
Mm. Interesting. I mean, I've studied it, of course. Like you said, there's so much to study, and there is the one thing, there's so much to remember. And I think as palmists, those were never my favorite lines. I've read them, and of course, they were in my book. But when I used to teach, I had a course book, and of course, I used to teach that. But if I don't use it every day, I'm not going to remember it. So that's cool, yeah. I also heard, too, that if on that top one, if it goes up, if it arches a lot, that means that a woman that she would have difficulty with childbirth. So I don't know. I don't have children. Mine goes up, but I never had children, so I don't know if that's true or not. But it's interesting.
That is interesting. Mine goes up. I have one child, but I didn't. I had a drama, but I didn't have difficulty. I think most people have a drama around the time of their birth. And we're gonna
may have been a guy who wrote that.
Pardon me? What? You remember
may have been
my
a guy
drama.
Who wrote
you...
that.
We're gonna pause for a commercial, Victoria, okay. And we'll come right back, okay?
Perfect.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Okay, we're back with Victoria Gross, and when we had our little break, we touched on a subject that we're actually going to talk about next, and that has to do with fingerprints and the worlds on the fingers. So, Victoria, tell us a little bit about the fingerprints themselves and what's called the worlds, WHORLS, on the fingers.
Yeah, I was going to say, you probably would do better than that, because when it came to the fingerprints, which we do study in advanced palmistry, I could never get it. I could never get it down. You know how you just have those subjects that it's fascinating and I love it, but I could not teach it. So I think you would do better with that.
I wonder, I'm sure there is a whole study on just the fingerprints and just the way that they, are what the worlds look like, and there's a philosophy behind it. And if you look at your own, and it can vary from finger to finger. Some have very circular patterns and some have wavy patterns. And the really circular that are really tight and circles, like that go in a circular pattern, those are people who are very concerned about being able to control things in their lives. If you have more wavy and peaked, you're more outgoing, more adventurous. And then it even, depending on the finger and what astrological finger that is, you know, you can even add it into that as an added amount of information onto the finger itself. You know, just like thumbs. Yeah. Have you noticed the thumbs? Thumbs are interesting too. You know, when you look at the fingers, what are some of your favorite kind of thumbs?
Well, you know, the thumb is very interesting, and I think there's one school of Chinese palmistry that's basically all they study. Because the thumb, you know, the top part of the thumb, let's say from that center joint to the tip of the nail, the tip of the thumb is the will section, and from the middle joint to, let's say, the base of the thumb is the logic, and then you have the Mount of Venus, that big pad under the thumb. The thumb is very interesting because you can tell a lot about, you know, a person's will and their logic and, you know, their diplomacy, if they have a wasted thumb. And, you know, when you're getting back to the fingerprints, and there's so many good books like the Bingham Book of Palmistry, the Criminal Tendency of Palmistry. You know, there's a lot of good books that do talk about the fingerprints. And like you said, it does get a little bit more advanced. And I love the fingerprints, but I've never really taught them, and I go over them lightly in advanced classes because they can get complex. But it's interesting to find out what fingerprint is on that thumb, what that thumbprint is, and how you can take those qualities with the will and the logic of the person. You know, and if a person has a thumb that, you know, you take your middle, take your index finger and press the pad of your thumb, that top section, and does it come back? Is it flat? You know, is that person's thumb bending back? You know, that signifies that they let money roll out of their hands. And
that's my thumb. Okay, you're talking about my thumb. Mine is curved. I always call it my hitchhiking thumb to the mall. Take me to the mall. Because I don't go to the mall. Well, I go shopping, okay?
Yeah, money just kind of goes right off that thumb.
That's bad. I don't want my thumb. I want a different one.
Well, you hold it up straight. Hold it up straight. You know, and then there's, when you read in the books, you know, they talk about the murderous thumb, which is the club thumb, the big bulbous thumb. But I've had students in my classes that were not murderers, and they were very spiritual people that had those. So I don't think we can just look at something in a book and say, oh, okay, that's it. You know, we have to take everything into consideration. But the thumb, I mean, I look at my thumb, you know, and like, okay, how's my will? Is it flat? Have I let people walk over me? Or, you know, am I extending my will too much? Am I being too domineering over people? You know, where exactly is it more than my logic? Is it, you know, what's going on here?
So it's now, are you talking about the size of the sections as compared to each other, like the top part and the bottom part?
Right. You know, and then we look at we measure the thumb. The thumb in itself is a whole complete chapter. You know, I mean, we could say that about the fingers, but the fingers we can really group into like one, you know, area. But the thumb is really its own complete chapter.
Well, it's interesting because the ancient Egyptians, and I believe that palmistry, well, I know for a fact that palmistry was practiced in ancient Egypt. But in all the paintings, they always have, like in the drawings, they always have the thumb out first. Because
really?
I believe that thumb, because it's the opposing thumb, is what separated them as human beings than the animals. So they were pretty fascinated by the thumb, too. And they always showed a thumb that was pretty equal in size, like from one section to the other, equal and curved.
Wow.
Yeah, and all the Egyptian carvings, it's pretty interesting. You always see the same kind of thumb, and it's always the hand is extended out thumb first. So
well,
I thought
that
was
very
pretty
interesting. And like you said, in Chinese, there's a certain school of Chinese palmistry that's all they study, because the thumb is the will. It is a lot of people, that's the personality, you know, the person, persona, let's say. So it's very interesting in the Egyptian paintings that they had that out first.
Yeah, because in their, the hand to them, it was the four elements, and the thumb was the, like, what you would consider the will or the spirit or the life force or the hika.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So it was, so if we talk about schools of palmistry, you're mentioning the Chinese school of palmistry. I bet that's completely fascinating. I bet that book's probably like 6 inches thick.
You know, yeah, and I can just look at things like with the Chinese or with the Indian and just glance over those books, and I don't have any. I mean, I've seen things, but it can get really complicated studying this school and this school and this school and this school, so I always just told my students, you know, if you're going to study, you know, Indian palmistry, just stick with that one then, because it can get too confusing, you know. But there's a lot of things that do blend over into each school.
Well, it would have to. They would definitely would have to, because I think that divination, like palmistry and the tarot, they crossed continents.
Yes.
With people who were
exactly.
Travelers, gypsies or mm-hmm. merchants or whatever. And what is different about Indian palmistry? Now, I'm curious about that, because I don't know much about Indian palmistry. Do they? Because I know Indian astrology, the Vedic astrology, is different.
Right, right. Well, I mean, I don't really know a whole heck. I mean, but what they call, like, their lifeline, like our lifeline would be called their father line, or what we call our headline, they call the mother line, you know. So it's just different wording and things. And again, I haven't studied... I don't know enough about it to really say exactly what it is. Just, you know, I read it from time to time, and then I kind of put it away in my mind. But I just mm-hmm. think it's very interesting, all the different types of school. And like you said, there are going to be crossovers. I mean, look at the example that you just gave with the Egyptian paintings. I mean, all these things do cross over, all kinds of divination. There are similarities, but then there are little different ways of looking at it, just like religions, you know. Like everything.
So, but when it really boils down to it, if you think about it, all of this stuff and everything that's in the palm, even though it's complex, they're all based on universal truths, wouldn't you agree?
Correct. Yes, I would.
I mean, the planets, the elements, you know, those things in nature that cannot be denied, that just are.
Uh-huh.
It's definitely not a man-made practice in the sense where it's just made up. It's something that relates to humanity.
Well, and yeah, and I think, personally, I think we find that information more in older books. I think that's one of the areas that we need to really be cautious in this day and age, is there's so many good books out there, and, you know... we have great libraries of books, but I think I've seen a lot of people take things and just want to put their twist on it just to make it different. And that's why I really like going back to the older books. And when I write something, I use old books as my reference, because I think they've stayed more with the laws that were tried and true, and like I said, the universal laws. I mean, look at, you know, the astrology and the elements, they're all in the hands. So mm-hmm. all those things come into being, you know, they're all connected.
I
was going to say, I don't know if you found that, like, that's one of the areas I think we need to be really cautious today, is getting information that's tweaked just because somebody wants to put their own
spin on it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that's all the way across the board in all metaphysical studies. And, you know, I don't want to sound like, you know, a snob when it comes to being a psychic or an intuitive thing, but I think in order for you to be somebody who's out in the public and you're helping people through your divination arts and your talents as a psychic, you better know your stuff, which means you've got to, you can't just make it up on the fly. It has to be something, you have to study it. Yeah, it has to be a life study for you. Otherwise, you cannot be an authority on it. Do you know?
Exactly. True.
I'm with you on that. I get pretty angry, you know, when it comes to that. Even when it comes to like the spiritual practices and stuff, and somebody runs off and say, "Well, I'm so and so a wizard or whatever." I'm like, you know what? Get out of here.
Yeah.
Get out of here. So anyhow, in what way have you seen palm readings help people? Your clients,
well,
specific.
I think it gives them a really good understanding of what's going on in their life, in their mind, you know, because it's the subconscious that we're looking at in the hand here. And again, I think, you know, because I read like you, we read psychically also, you know, I mean, I'm going to pick up things that are not markings in the hand. I may say something that isn't really shown in the hand. I'm just picking up psychically, but the line or that marking will give me an indication. So I think it gives people a better understanding of oh, okay, this is really kind of what's going on, or this is why I like that. You know, maybe, I mean, I remember one time I was doing a big party, it was like for a corporation, and it's a Christmas party, and there's like 500 people, and it's for accountants, and it's like after reading so many hands for hours, they all had their headline going down into their intuition. And then they're wondering why they were unhappy in their job. It's like, well, you know, maybe think about that. You know, if you're going to be an accountant, you want to use your intuition here, you know. So I think it gives people a good, just a good little mirror to look at themselves, look at, hey, you know, maybe I'm more of a creative, intuitive person and I need to be in that kind of job that I can really excel at that. Maybe I'm more of a mathematician. I need to be at this kind of job. I mean, and there's so many books out, you know, careers in hands and romance in hands and health in hands. So I think it gives us just a little indication of, hey, what's going on?
Well, it's definitely better than therapy because then you can understand yourself, right?
Exactly.
And then you take it with you. Go around and you take it with you. And like you were saying, there for every positive, there's a negative. And it's always been my philosophy that, you know, even with an astrological, you know, chart, because nothing's perfect. You're not going to have the most perfect palm.
Right.
You're not going to have the most perfect astrological chart. It just doesn't exist. It's going to be positive and negative. And so I suppose it's up to us to emphasize the positive and de-emphasize the negative.
Right. I think that's a really good point. It's just like these are your potentials. How can you access them and what can you do with them? I mean, we're aware of the negatives and too often we give too much power to that. It's like, okay, this is the weakness. That's fine. But look at your potential. Now, how can you manifest this potential into your life? How can you bring this to be bigger in your life? And you're right. I mean, I think with any reading, both you and I are not pansy readers. We just say it like it is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we give people the tools to say, okay, how can you make this work in your life? If this isn't a good point in your life, okay, look at this. You have signs in your hands that says you have a writer's fork. Are you writing? Can you write your story? You know, that will help you shift through something. So I think that's how it helps people, is to give them an idea. Hey, I do have a writer's fork. Oh, that's what I like. That's why I like writing. And, you know, maybe they will go. Maybe they have a teacher's square on their hand, you know, and they, which is on the amount of Jupiter, and they're like, hey, I'm in the wrong profession. You know, maybe I should be teaching. That doesn't mean they have to teach, you know, a traditional school, but maybe they can teach art class or something, you know, at a community center. So when people see their potentials, they can see how they can fulfill them, and then they're happier in life. So I think it really is a good tool. It's like therapy in a palm.
Therapy in the palm is, I think, you know, it's unfortunate that It's not something that therapists use. It would really help people, you know, for them to really know, look, this is really who you are. Are you going to reach this potential? You going to stall on it, you know, because it's all there. They always have the saying, the future is in your palm. Well, it really is.
Yeah, yeah. You know what, I with you, it's I would like to see it more mainstream and used in therapy, used in corporations. I mean, I have a wonderful book called Criminal Tendency and Palmistry, you know. I mean,
tell us about that.
You know, I mean, you could pretty much tell what kind of crime a person would, you know, take. I mean, somebody who's doing more of a mental, they're really going to think this crime out, would probably have more of a mental hand than, you know, an earth hand or something. So, I mean, I don't want people to look at their hand and go, okay, I can commit this kind of crime, or, you know, but it's pretty interesting. It's an old book. It's just written by a woman named Rhoda. It's called Criminal
Tendency.
I'm just
going to have to look that one up. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
I could talk to you for hours, Victoria, but we have reached the end of our interview, and I want to thank you for being with us.
Oh, well, thank you for having me on again. I always enjoy our talks and our shows, and thanks for, you know, the subject. And thank you for introducing me to palmistry all those years ago.
Oh, you know what? I didn't know I was, I really hadn't realized that I was the one introducing it to you, but I'm totally flattered. And so thank you very much. And you have a great rest of the week, and I'll catch up with you later. Thank you.
You too. Have a wonderful show. Thanks, Brenda. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Victoria's contact information is on our guest page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later, not now, in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you were unable to catch our show last week on Archangel Michael, you'll find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all of our previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. It's our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible, so please share the link with others. Please be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything under the sun, from the paranormal reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. If you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested authentic psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most authentic, gifted psychics around. It's an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. All of the co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access, and if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We would love to hear from you. By the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit http://PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to the psychic viewpoint. There is something for everybody, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Now, the call-in number for later at the end of the show is 724-444-4851. But don't call in right now. Just wait a little bit longer, and we'll announce it again. Okay, now it's time for our banter. Maureen, what did you think about it?
I loved it. You know, I was discussing a couple of things behind your back. When you were doing the interview, I had mentioned something when I first launched in the 1989, you know, the 900 psychic line, you know, thingy. There was a reader that worked with me, and I love palmistry. I think it's fascinating, but I've never really, you know, gotten real into studying about it, you know, a little bit, but I'm not real knowledgeable. But I'm fascinated by it. Anyway, the feet really fascinated me because this woman, Mariah, was probably 3 weeks old. And I remember, you know that time period you feel like when things are all different with your work, you're younger, and things are just moving along, and there's a lot of energy. And she goes, "Oh, I'd like to read Mariah's little feet." What? To me, I'd not ever even thought about, because I mean, like I said, I wasn't real knowledgeable, and I found that very fascinating. When she didn't, you know, elaborate much on it, but I remember I forget her name. She was just getting real into her feet. Mariah was in awe, three and a half or 3 weeks old, something like that, reading her little, you know, wrinkly feet. And I always thought about that. I still think about that to this day. No one has read my feet, but I find that very fascinating.
It is fascinating, isn't it? Because it's
it's got to be.
There's so much in the palm and so much in the bottom of the feet.
Exactly. Absolutely. It's just like in massage. You know how you have to massage the feet in order to make your, what areas that, you know, your digestive, well, you know.
It's all there.
Exactly.
And you know what's in your palm and in the bottom of your feet too? Chakras.
Exactly. And I also really appreciated what she brought up. I always felt very strongly about this, about I used to talk to people because I'm, you know, so like you, you know, like I said, Brenda, you and I are pretty much, you know, pretty similar. Well, we're not, you know, identical, but similar in our ways of how we kind of connect. And she was saying, you know, how, you know, she can go on her intuition, the palm, you know, with her, it's the palm with me, it's the tarot. I don't need them in front of me, but it helps me, and I go off them and use my, you know, empathic or whatever, and go off. But she was bringing up, it's always nice to study other sciences, universal sciences, and being able to just fuse them all together. She didn't say those words, but pretty much, I remember, well, she was talking about that. It wasn't me. She discussed that.
Well, you know, now with Skype, you know, I was always, you know, with the phone readings, you could never really do palmistry. But now on Skype,
right.
I'm going to start experimenting to see if I can hold,
if
someone can hold their palm close enough to the camera, I can give it a read. Because I think that, you know, perhaps if they shined a light on it or something.
Do you
know
what
I mean? Like,
you know,
if
what?
You have your
You're
Skype
right.
readings.
Well, you know, there was somebody I had on months, I don't know, maybe it's been a year ago, 2 years ago, I don't remember. She was a palmistry, and what she did, she would have people send her, because I thought, how could you do that? She would have people send her photographs before she did the reading through the, you know, whatever, before she connected with them on
you
Skype.
You can do that with a phone, and you can just text it to a person.
Exactly. You know what? I'm going to remind me after the show. I have something I can send you that you'll find very fascinating. I think you'll like about that.
Good. Send
it.
Oh,
I will.
Good.
It's thing. Yeah. That's all I got to say.
All right. Steven, what are your thoughts on it?
Let me just say, I was. I have a confession to make. I was... I don't
know.
You
were looking at the palm the whole time, okay?
I was 1,000% more fascinated. Well, I mean, you know, I was listening, and it was just really enlightening to me. I tell you, I've always, really, I think it's a measure of how powerful this stuff is that Maureen and I actually have a similar experience, you know, because I was impressed with the complexity of it as well. I'm sort of a newbie. And I never knew much about it. And again, I'm just so surprised at how in depth it is. You better believe I'm going to run, not walk, but run to my local bookstore to pick up some copies of books on this. It's very disciplined.
You know, it is, and then it isn't, because after you've been reading palms for a while, you kind of develop your own style. You
right,
know?
Right.
But well, you need the basics. You definitely need the basics. The lines, the fingers, the mounds. You know, those are the basis of all that. And then you can go from there. You can elaborate. Like we talked about the whorls and the finger. And some people don't ever go past that. They just read the, you know, the hand shape, the finger shape. You know, all that.
I agree. My approach to to palmistry is really similar to my approach to karate. I know just enough to get my butt kicked. And, you know, I think that palmistry, more than any other occult science or esoteric science, could yield a negative diagnosis to someone who tries to self-diagnose themselves. You know what I mean? It's easy to come to a negative judgment about what you see in your palm, because if you don't know, I guess, the deeper meanings and all the other points, then it's easy to leap to a conclusion if you see something there that's a little troubling or not flattering, you know. So I think that the newbie or the neophyte ought to approach this with respect and caution.
That's a good point. I just think that we need to know our stuff, you know, I really do. I think it's important. If we're going to go out there and we're going to advise people, then we need to be studied and learn it ourselves.
Absolutely. That's why it's important to consult a professional before you make your own conclusions about this, because there's, you know, the general knowledge out there on it, I think, is a tip of the iceberg situation, where 90% of what's pertinent to this art, to the science, is below the waters. So I'm humbled by it and going to study more about it for sure. if you need a guinea pig for the Skype of palm reading, I gladly volunteer.
Well, we'll try to see if we can do that. You shall be my guinea pig.
I would love that. I would love that, because according to my palm, I'm going to hell
in a handbasket. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I'm gonna get
that's a southern saying right there.
And I do appreciate that. Makes me feel more at home, darling. according to my palm,
Who was from Georgia, told my husband when he met me that she goes, Chris, you're going to hell in a handbasket.
You did a pretty good approximation of that, actually. I could tell you listened to him really well. It's hard to do.
Thank you, Stephen.
I did love the show. It was fascinating.
Oh, I'm glad. And now we have a special guest, a guest host, Carmen. What was your thought about today's interview?
Oh, well, thank you for asking. As we're doing this, I'm going through my favorite book, which is The Secret Teachings of All Ages, looking at the roots of palmistry and how it's tied into Freemasonry, which I know very little about. I'm all one for, I've used my basic symbols, and I must say, I've been poor at updating my symbolism for the last couple of years, but it's something that always fascinates me. So the moment I started looking at the Christian origins of palmistry, now that actually really piqued my interest as well, because I'm always looking for like counter, historical evidence to what is stated is wrong, you know?
Counter historical evidence?
Yeah, because they would never admit to it, right?
No, they would never. You're right. They would never admit to it, of course. But Christian palmistry. Well, you know what? That could be, you could use, if you think about it, I mean, I don't know, because I'm not seeing it in front of me, but you could use the archetypes, you know, almost like you would use, like, different deities, like, of course, I'm into the Egyptian deities, and so I would use those archetypes, but you could use the Christian archetypes in symbolism and related to the palms. Is that how they do it?
Yeah, they were talking about Mary being associated to the mound of Venus. She's at the bottom, she's at the base. And then we have God, and then at the first part or juncture of the thumb, and then up at the tip you have Jesus. And I just find it very interesting that they're both on the will part, which is the action-oriented part of the thumb. Almost nothing to do with any of the other astrological symbols. And I wish that our palm reader was here to explain that, because, I mean, one can go on forever, because all the other hand and fingers seem to have apostles in it, which, I mean, the apostles being teachers. Now, I mean, I'm just fascinated by symbolism. That's what keeps me going in this job. I don't know about you guys, but it's endless, right?
Oh, absolutely. And the more you have, the more things, more it opens up another door for you, too. It definitely does.
It's just so beautiful. And the art is just so beautiful from that day, you know, from a few centuries ago. And the regal, and I'm just a lowly empath. I mean, I've translated the tarot symbology into a working system to help supplement my telepathy, but which is great. It's an art in itself, but I have the utmost respect for people that can actually read this stuff, including astrologers. I mean, it's just phenomenal, right?
It's one of those subjects that's an endless subject, and I love stuff like that. I mean, you could keep studying it, and then you get stale too, so you need to go back. I probably have 10 books on palmistry, easy, or maybe 20. I have my very first book I ever got on palmistry that I got way back in the 70s. I still have it. So
lovely. Yeah, I had my palm read by, I believe, a gypsy or a person or a Roman person in Europe. And that was quite interesting. A young girl. She was quite an incredible energy. So that was my only experience with that, right? Would love to have it done again. And, you know, I wanted to bring up the point of what constitutes professional. Like, you know, you say, consult your psychic professional. And that's a really interesting point because, I mean, many of us, like you sound like, Brenda, you've been in the business since the 70s. I mean, that's incredible. And I've been in it for now almost 14 years, which I think is an absolute milestone. But what do you think defines a professional in our industry?
What defines a professional? Well, it's kind of the same as anything. I mean, we've been in it a certain amount of years. We've studied, we've taught it, but we also get paid to do it. That's a professional right there. You know what I mean? We get paid to do it because we've earned the right to get paid to do it. And there's a lot of people out there that, you know, it's like, you know, in 2 years you can't become a psychic. It's ludicrous. You may think that you can, but you might have the skills and the knowledge and the book learning, but, you know, it really takes... You know, you have to learn how to counsel people too, which is a big part of it, as you know. And everybody here, as a psychic on this show, realizes that that's a big part of what we do, and that comes with experience. And that's what a professional does. You not only do you have the knowledge, but you have the experience, and you know how to counsel people.
I think it's experience because I've come across a lot of new psychics, and I think that it just does take some time. I mean, for me to learn palmistry, what taught me to become a good empath or telepath was I looked at my reading count. It was insane. It was something like 20,000 calls that I've done over 15 years, right? Because I was able to have a computer keep track of it. But with palms, I mean, you know, you have to walk up to people. And it must be an incredibly bonding experience as well.
You know, it's really interesting because for 16 years, I did the California Renaissance Fair. And every season, I read 500 new people. So I gained 500 new clients every year through that. Well, wow. You know, new people that would come to me that I've never seen before, and I read all of their palms. And it is very intimate. I believe that it's intimate when you're reading a person's palm because they're really trusting. They want to know.
It's quite a privilege, and it must be a very difficult art to actually do because... One of the things that happens to me is at least, I don't know about you guys, but I'm sure, Brenda, you know what I mean, and the tarot readers know what I mean, and the phone readers know, that it's much easier doing it with a person when they're distant and when they're away, because you don't get to get into body language, environment, and obviously your character connection, right? I mean, that's an incredibly difficult job to have to look beyond that and just look at the map.
Well... Or that, again, that just comes from just doing it over and over and over again, like all of us. I've said to people, they go, well, doesn't the noise bother you in this room? Why can't you read? Da, 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 da. I'm like, no, you know what? I could read on the side of a freeway because I just focus on it. It becomes automatic.
Amazing, yeah.
And I think that's the same with palms. Palms are like, you know... They're so fascinating, and believe me, you can see some pretty grubby palms at the Renaissance Fair.
That's funny.
Okay, remind me not to do any scalp reading then.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? That's interesting, too, because I was curious. I had a friend who's Chinese, and there is a very famous Chinese psychic that lives... someplace in LA, and he reads very differently. He reads, he does what's called phrenology, and he reads the bumps on your head. And he, they, in, apparently they're called Buddha bumps, and depending where they're placed, and he reads actually the, he reads your bumps on your head, and he reads the, like, protruding bones, like your elbows and knees and stuff. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that was big in the 18th century. In fact, I think it became like a fad, almost like the, remember the seance? There was like, everybody did seances around the turn of the century.
The spiritualists, right. The spiritualists were into face readings. I don't know so much about the phrenology. I don't know. Maybe I didn't know that.
I think there was a brief period of that where it became, and then it was, I think it was banned because it became like a real fad, you know, kind of odd little things that I remember. But yeah, it was.
Well, my great grandmother was a Victorian spiritualist. So, you know, she did all that stuff, the seances, all that kind of stuff. So
amazing. So she still remembers all of that era, which I would think is just so fascinating.
Well, I never met her. She was dead before I, but I was the funniest thing, and I was doing like a spiritual reading circle, and all of a sudden somebody goes, well, Nuncia's here, and her name was Annunciata, but they called her Nuncia. So she would come through. Oh, well, looks like I'm going to give out the number for the readings, and I think that, thank you very much, Carmen.
Well, thank you.
I'm going to give out, we've come to the part of the show, we'll be taking your calls and questions. You can either call in or ask your question in the chat room. However, we do have to take the call-ins first due to their wait time. The call-in number for your free reading is 724-444-4851. Again, the number is 724-444-4851. And we really only can take one question per reading, because otherwise it's not fair to the other people. Okay? So, Stephen, you have the first call from New York.
All right, New York, how may I help you this evening?
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. With whom am I speaking?
This is Christina.
Hi, Christina, how may I help you?
I just have a quick question regarding my relationship. My boyfriend and I, we've been dating a year. We're about to celebrate our year anniversary, and we're going on vacation this weekend. And everything seems to be going well. I was just wondering, do you see this relationship going towards more of a long-term commitment as for marriage and children in the future? Because based on my past, I'm a little guarded. You know, I don't want to be so optimistic, you know, and get my heart broken. So
that's totally understandable.
Yeah, so I'm a little bit more careful this time around.
Well, you can never be too careful. Your heart is a precious resource, and you have to protect it.
Yes,
absolutely. One second while I shuffle the cards and lay out a spread, and I'll tell you whether or not you can get a long-term committed relationship with marriage and children out of your current boyfriend, okay?
Okay, thank you.
My pleasure. Okay, let's see what we have here. The chances are pretty good, fortunately. What we have here is a new beginning, like an important beginning. There's a lot of cosmic energy between the two of you. And right now, you're actually in a phase of healing, which is a great thing. I fully expect that this trip you're going on is going to go a long way towards cementing the bond that you have with your boyfriend. And again, not only will it do that, but it's going to help heal some of the wounds that you have from past relationships. That's the really beautiful thing about it. This is going to be a moment of equilibrium for you when you get back. That's also going to be another sort of an unexpected side effect of the trip, is that when you get back, the benevolent energies, the positive energies that you guys create on this trip are going to spill over into your daily life long after the trip is finished. So as a result of this, your ability to communicate with your partner is going to improve and become more profitable for you. And this will lead to the action of formalizing the relationship with children or with the ceremony.
Okay.
Okay, the future's looking good for you, Christina. So congratulations and enjoy your trip, okay?
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for calling in, and I hope you'll come back and see any one of us over at psychicaccess.com, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Stephen. That was great.
Thank you, Brenda. Thank you.
Okay, Maureen, you have a caller from Illinois.
Hello?
I do. I guess I was coming. Yes. Hi. This is Maureen. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, Maureen. My name is Tana.
Tana? I hope I got it right. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. I have a quick question about my relationship with this guy that I've been dating about 6 months. And so when we first started, it was okay. But then recently, he just wanted to be friends with benefits. So he doesn't want to commit to a serious relationship with me, but we're still seeing each other, but he doesn't want to be serious. So I'm just wondering, like, if it will ever become serious, or...
So you want to know what may proceed ahead along the way, and if he's just... I feel like I got what you're saying. Because when someone says that to you, but they still want to see you, you know... The thing that I'm getting is this: right now, at the present moment, anyway, I feel that recently there has been some strain on him with money issues, like fear. There's been some stress on him with money, and that can cause anybody to kind of feel distant from anybody else if they're having. Do you know you're friends with him, so you do talk to him. So, has he been under stress with worrying about money? Finances, things like that?
Yes, I would say so.
Mm-hmm. I'm more so than... Well, my feeling is this, that I wouldn't really listen to every... You know, words are great, but then again, words can really sometimes mess everything up. And women love to have the words, but I would watch his actions more. I feel that right now, presently, it is difficult for you to fuse together. It's just the way it is. You're not blending well, but I actually feel that it's definitely in connection to the stress he's dealing with, intense stress about worrying about financial ruin. And I feel it's a fear. It's not going to happen. I see within the next 4 weeks he's going to start feeling much better. I see his batteries being recharged. And at that point, you don't know what to think. It looks like you lost faith, or you don't want to listen to your inner voice. And also, be careful who you might confide in about this, because I see some very positive things ahead for you. And you'll have a choice. You'll have a choice either not to listen to everybody else saying, what do you think you're doing, you silly girl, with somebody that doesn't seem or appear like they're interested. Or I would suggest or encourage you to be fearless and go for it, because I see a really great, I just see a great new feeling of change and enthusiasm for this relationship. And I do feel within the next 4 weeks, this is going to come about, but you'll start questioning yourself inside about what you feel, if it's real or not. And I'm getting it. That's coming from other people. You know, not that, you know, you're putting all that weight into other people. Your sleep will be much better. You'll be getting much better sleep, too, by the way.
Okay.
But don't feel that, I don't like to tell people to. I'm encouraging you not to feel that you are seeing things that aren't really true. I'm just getting that I see a really great positive thing moving forward. And by the spring of 2014, early spring, I see more than a friendship going on and moving towards that. That's all I got to say. From where I'm standing or sitting, I really do. I feel that within 4 weeks, things will start turning around with him. Don't shut him out. Be fearless. Go for it.
Be fearless. Okay. Thank you so much.
Be fearless. Go for it. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, thank you, Maureen.
Yeah, sure.
And I just want to remind all those people listening, our listening audience, don't be shy. Call in for a reading, your free reading, 724-444-4851. We would love to you know, take your questions and give you a little insight on what's going on in your life. And so don't be shy. Call in. So we're back to bantering here. You know, it's interesting. We were talking about palmistry, and I thought about it because I'm an animal lover. And I'm wondering, you know, if they have the same kind of stuff going on in their paws. Wouldn't that be interesting? Cats or dogs?
What about primates? Primates are so similar to us.
Yeah, primates.
Their personality has to be mapped in their palms somehow.
What about baboons?
If the principle is that all these creatures have natal charts, then for sure there must be items or aspects of their physiology, their bodies, that also
purple baboon paws.
baboons scare me.
You know what? Baboons are vicious.
They have purple hair in their butt.
Yeah, they have strange rumps. That's why I don't like them. I don't like creatures with misshapen rear
baboon
ends.
Butts.
It's scary. It's because they're females. They're in estrus. It's swollen. They're looking. They need a mate. I'm serious. That sagging booty. That's nature's red flag to all the male baboons. Say, hey, buddy, you better go grab
for it.
Thank God I can get away with a lot less.
Exactly. The tissues are, not to get too veterinarian here.
We don't want to hear it. You know what? Too much information. Oh, no.
We wanted to talk about animals.
This is a family show, okay?
I'm just wondering if I'm going to have to take a look at my cat's paws and see if they differ. I'm sure they got little lines on them. Take a magnet. Look at the paws.
Look at the toenails, too. I'm joking.
The length of the toes.
When you think about that, maybe their noses, because the noses would have the same kind of skin type as their paws. So I would imagine readings on dogs.
That would be something really intense. And you know what? I bet you could make a ton of money because everybody loves dogs. You know? Nose readings, and they'd have to have an imprint. They would send you an imprint of their nose.
I would love that job.
I know. Wouldn't it be a great job? Okay, Carmen, you know what? You have a call from Massachusetts.
I do. And what is the person's name? Hello.
Hi, this is Richa here. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you. Thank you for calling me. I'm an empath. So, yeah.
Go ahead. I have a question about my business. I had been guided to start this Amway business by the angels about 3 or 4 months ago. And I have been putting my heart and soul into this business with not much returns. Like, I did make some success with sales and with contacting people and sponsoring a few, but I'm still not getting the kind of results that I expect or desire. And I know that I have to change something, but what it is, I don't understand, because people get interested but they don't join my team and they are very skeptical, but others are getting a lot of success, like they have made very good money in this, I just needed some advice from you on what should I do, where should I find these new people, and when will this start to begin giving me returns, or whether it's even meant for me or not.
Okay, and now the first thing for me to do to get the correct answer, because I'll be able to get something for you, is what kind of business is it in?
This is a network marketing business. We have to build our team. Like, I have to sponsor around 24 plus people to start making some good money.
Okay.
And when I say sponsor, basically when they become part of this system, they buy products from Amway, and then they actually sponsor few more people under them to do the same. So we build a network of people who will be using their products or retailing them.
No,
That's what this is about.
And so I'm going to look at the type of product as well, because I have seen money made in network marketing to some extent, but depending on the product, right? I mean, it does say here that the person who has put money into this business, just so you know, let's say the owner of this company, has over-invested. Well, now what that means is that you have a certain limited amount of time to hedge your marketing. I would recommend, because having seen people go through network marketing, having, you know, obviously from the 90s, I had a furor into it myself. Please understand that you probably want to give this maybe 6 months to a year. If this particular product is not working for you, what it indicates for me is that that might not be energetically tuned up to your spirit, or it might just be simply the market right now for that particular product. So what I'm going to look at this here is just what can be done to improve the situation, if I can see that. Let's see. It really does indicate here, you've got here a few, I want to give you a bit of advice, and I know I'm meant to be positive, but I'm also someone that's also a business teacher, and I like to be able to sort of help people, and my reputation is made on that, in that it says that there are a few people that are leaving that particular industry. Now, that could be, in my view, a good thing for you. But if your network marketing industry is made on these chain supports, if you guys supporting each other, that may be your one single flaw. That's what it says here. So now the success aspect in terms of your future with that, it does say here that, let's see, you know what, you're bringing in some people and they're not completing the contract. So these are people under you that are losing their steam. So I'm not sure where you are in your networking level, but
that is true. There are people under me who either don't have any steam or they are losing their steam. And then I'm trying to find young people whom I can service, actually, who may not have enough money or stuff like that, but I can help them sell this dream and, you know, kind of make money in this. I'm trying to help them, but they are very skeptical. Like, people either don't make to their appointments to see the business plan, or if they do see it, they don't join it because they're very skeptical. And I know for a fact, like, you know, my aim is, like, I joined this business because angels guided me. And the second thing is that it's teaching me some people skills and it's giving me some social life. However, my primary aim was to pay my husband's debt through this. I thought that by socializing and by doing all this, maybe it will grow and I'll be able to pay my husband's debt through it. And I always look for people whom I can serve, whom I can help. I'm not specifically looking for people who are having okay income and who can, like, you know, do everything like I do, or who are over ambitious like I am. I really try to make an attempt to connect with every strata of the society and be very polite, mindful of their circumstances. And they all can relate with me. Like, you know, they become interested. They understand what I'm saying. But for some reason or another, they either don't join or they don't come to see the product or buy enough products. And I am ethical and fair. Like, you know, if it's not suiting anybody, I am the first person to tell them not to buy it or to return it back. Like, I'm not very business-minded person. So I just really want to know that whether this will be fruitful for me and what can I do differently, because the products are good and I am being ethical. I don't really like my upline that much because I feel that they are very pushy and they're not very ethical at times.
This is what I would ask you to do, because I know what you're going through, and I think it's fair to say that in this society now, it's really good to be ethical. But I think that there's a form of sort of an attention deficit that's going on with people that, in fact, you're up against people that don't want to train, and I see this in all businesses, that don't want to stick with preliminary jobs, even low-paying jobs, even regular jobs. So in a sense, I would say, what you're up against the culture. You need to probably diversify and take on maybe 3 different products and work them all at once. And that would mean, I would have to say, then you're starting to get into the realm of having to do a lot more advertising than networking. Because it says here, you know, you're doing this all on your own. How long have you been doing it for?
3 months.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I would give it another 3 months. And if I would say, if you don't net it now, more than likely it's just not the right product or the right client base. And that's a demographic too. You can't move. you know. I see here that for you, it says it lacks foundation. I see that the owner is losing a lot of money. So I wouldn't necessarily stay in there. And I, as I say, my mandate is please get out, be productive, you know, contribute to your life, to your society, your economy. I'm not going to waste your time. I feel like if it says that the owner is losing money, don't stay in it. That's a big observation that I would like to make. That's all. That means it's not you, it's the product. Okay. Now, that means that you could make some money back, but I want to just say this is a very important signal. You know? Is that clear?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yes. Yes.
I just wanted to know that when will I be able to make any money back and will my network grow at all?
Okay. Well, one of the things I can't tell you is when, but I will tell you if the network will grow. And I want to put it into the, just the frame of if it will grow. It says the improvement in your network. Okay, this is one of the things I want to say to you. I don't think you're going to make all your money back. I don't know how much money you put in, but you're going to probably break about even. But I'm wanting you to make a profit, right? So this is why I'm saying just try and stay in there to make your money back. And then I don't see necessarily this working out. And I'm really sorry. I'm an empath, and I'm also a tarot reader. And, you know, just with tarot, I just spit out data. I just tell you what I see. Like, each card is a word, is a symbol, right? It doesn't say loss and disorder and disaster or anything like that. It just says a challenge, and it's a challenge to motivate. And I just don't know how you keep your head above water, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay. You know, I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but we kind of are running out of time because we have another caller. So,
thank you, though.
Thank you.
Take care. Yeah.
And thank you, Carmen. That was a great reading. Okay, I have a caller from New York. Hello, New York.
Hello.
Hi there. What can I do for you this evening?
Hello, are you talking to me?
Yes, I am. How can I help you this evening?
I just have a general question of, let me see. Okay, my love life. What is coming up in that area?
Your love life? Okay. Let's take a peek. Let's take a peek.
Will I ever have one?
You know, it's interesting. The very first thing that came up was a man, somebody coming in. And okay. I feel that when I'm looking into it, you know, you're going to have an attraction. And I think a powerful attraction, one you haven't had in a long time. You know, it's been a while since you've really had a real strong and powerful attraction towards a man. And I do feel that there's someone from the past, but I see him as, you know, he's going to remain in the past. He's an annoyance. Nothing's changing there. I don't see that at all. But into the future, and this looks like a transformation in your love life because, you know, it's almost like the calm before the storm. There hasn't been anything for a really long time, but it's coming. And I'm looking at it, and it feels like it's in the 10th month of the year. So you have a little time to wait, and you're going to meet this man as an introduction. Somebody will introduce you to him, and I feel it's a younger person, and it's in a casual setting. It could be some type of get together, and I see friendship first. I really do. And it's coming at a time in your life when you're ready to make new beginnings, because all around you now is an urge and a desire to make new beginnings in your life. And this person who comes in in a way where, you know, it's non-evasive, it's not pushy, it feels natural. And when you meet him, it's going to feel like, oh, wow, I've known this guy for years. He's very comfortable to talk to. He's somebody who enjoys being outdoors. He's got a couple of hobbies that I feel that are important to him, and one of them has to do with fishing. fishing, being outside in nature. I don't see that he's obsessed by it, but he does want to have somebody who would understand, not necessarily go with him, but to understand his passion for being out there in nature and being out on the water. Right. I see that, you know, you're afraid of, there's a certain amount of fear from the past and going into another relationship, but you know what? Sometimes we just got to jump in, right?
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, what is it going to matter in 10 years? No. Sometimes we just have to go for it, because if we don't, we're always going to regret it. And I really do see that you have the love vibration by October of this year.
Oh, that sounds really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I see, my dear.
Hey, I want to thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. If you need any more details about it, you can reach me or any of us at psychicaccess.com.
Okay, I will.
All right, honey. Thank you.
Take care. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, so we've got some interesting readings, huh, everybody?
Sure thing.
I think that people that shows on divination get people kind of stirred up. You know, they want to know. I think it's important. I think we have a lot of energy when we do shows in regards to like tarot and other forms of divination.
I agree. Absolutely.
And I know that we wanted to talk and we wanted to banter, but it looks like Stephen's got a caller from North Carolina.
Hi, who am I speaking with?
Hi, this is Megan.
Megan, how are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How may I help you?
I was wondering what's in store for my romance life in the future.
Sure. I can help you with that. What can she expect over the next 3 months from her love life? Okay. What can she expect? Yes. You're not currently seeing anyone now, are you? Or are you involved?
I'm not.
You're single. Okay. What can she expect over the next 3 months? Ah. Well, from this period, going from now until about the end of July, the middle of July, you will also be in a new beginning, a new. I don't want to say a new cycle, but you'll be beginning something new between now and the middle or the end of July. That's for sure. It could be a course, it could be college, it could be a new relationship, it could be a new job, it could be a new realization. But the idea, you're going to be creating something new over the next month. You're going to have many opportunities to use your willpower, and you're going to get better, or at least have a chance to strengthen your ability to use your willpower, your desire for a thing, to make it happen in reality. So mm-hmm. that's a very positive energy between now and the end of July. Now, going from that time, the end of July, into the end of August, this is going to be a period of success in your business. You're going to either get close or be capable of achieving an ambition in this month, July to August, late August. So it's going to be a period of devotion to a project or to an endeavor, to an ambition. That's what's really keying through right now, the idea of your ambition and having success in that. And also there'll be success in the realm of communication. So that would be a great time to mend fences, ask for a raise, anything that would be to your advantage, because success in communication is highly emphasized. And believe me, that's going to start this month, absolutely this month. You'll be laying the groundwork for that success, for the success of July to August. You'll be laying the groundwork for that in this month from June to July. And again, don't forget, one aspect to your success is going to be your ability to communicate with people. Absolutely. So don't be shy about that sort of thing. Don't be shy.
All right.
You might get shot down on something, but you're going to learn from those experiences and move on. Now, the third month is going to be a little tricky from August, end of August, to the end of September. It's going to be a period where you might be jeopardized by secret enemies or false friends. You need to watch your back during this month. Don't antagonize people during this month. And watch out for flatterers, especially. Always ask, what is this person's motivation for approaching me? What does this person want? You should definitely be wary of that. It would probably be a good month just to take extra precautions. It'll be a month of, it'll be a pretty mysterious month. So, you know, it's just be careful, keep yourself to yourself, and just be cautious in your dealings with people from August to September. Do you have, okay, any questions or anything?
No, that sounds
any clarification?
Good.
It's the first two 30-day periods are going to be really, really good. Now, the month of false friends and secret enemies, you know, there's nothing for you to really worry about. You should be fine as long as you are practical and realistic about things. This will be a month to get something in writing. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Get it in writing. You know, so be a little cautious. You can still trust people, but make them earn it a little bit first.
Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you for calling in. I hope you'll come visit us at psychicaccess.com, Megan.
Okay, I will.
Outstanding. Good night.
Night.
Thank you, Stephen. That was a great reading.
Thank you, Brenda. Thank you,
so
Megan.
So now we're going to get back to banter because it's like good luck. Every time we try to go back to banter, then we get a reading. So I want to give the number out again so that people, you know, who are listening, or maybe they can email it or they can text it to their friends. The number for the free on-air reading is 724-444-4851. And I'm sure Maureen put it in the chat room because she's always quick to do that.
But not
that
this
right?
time.
Oh, you didn't do it.
No, I was doing it all throughout. I just looking at my palm. No, I'm getting ready to send you some palms. Palm Sunday, Brenda. I'm joking. You know what I'm talking about. That already ended. Anyway, so we're really Carmen.
Huh?
You know, I get ashes on my forehead and I give them away. I spread them for other people. The ashes. Sorry. I'm a good Catholic girl, but when people can't go, I share my ashes.
Ashes. That's wonderful. I'm a Protestant. You know, we do Welch's.
Wait. We don't hear about that. I'm joking.
Yeah, we do Welch's and little cubes of bread. You know,
yeah, well,
I mean, I think.
You know, Catholics are witches.
Oh, I love.
What's the little cube of bread about? Okay, I want to know what that's all about.
It's, dare I say, trailer park communion? I don't know. It's
trailer. Now, you don't live in a trailer, do you? Okay. Do you?
Not specifically. Not yet.
He lives in a coach. It's called a coach.
I live in something smaller than a trailer, actually, or at least less.
But that's
less,
okay, Steve. That's
but it's more mobile, though. It's more mobile.
We're okay with you doing that.
It's very acetic. It's very acetic. A lot like camping out.
You can see through everybody's windows a lot easier than not.
We're kidding.
I love it. Keep it coming.
Yanking your chain.
I love getting beaten up by you guys. Keep it coming.
So you have a little cabin in the woods? Because you say you live way out there.
Oh, yeah, it's very rustic out here where I live, although the civilization keeps encroaching, which I don't like about that. Yeah, when I returned home from university, I was sort of appalled at all the changes in topography, the woods that got chopped down. I felt I was really offended by it. It was an affront. I said, how dare they? I can change, but everything else must remain static.
That's like a psychic breakdown to have seen that. That's awful.
It was really stressful because I had built log cabins in these woods. I'm talking about log cabins with toilets in them. I mean, they were multi-level log cabins, me and my friends. The toilet was not functional. It was just, I guess, more to preserve an illusion of
adulthood.
But
there's always an outhouse.
Yeah. I mean, nobody was designed to live in that cabin. No humans.
I have a caller.
Oh, Maureen, a caller from Cleveland.
Cleveland, huh? Cleveland. Hello, Cleveland. Hot in Cleveland. Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
My name is Kathy. I have a question. You had a call earlier that was talking about a business prospect she was going to be going into. Well, my daughter's going into something on the same line where she has to have people join underneath her. My question is it worth her even trying?
Okay, is she going to have a vested interest in this, or besides, well, it's important, her time?
Yeah.
You know, is there any, is she putting out any financial help with this, in addition to her time?
I'll probably be helping her, and I think that's why I'm wondering,
yeah,
is it worth her time and mine?
Well, no, time is money. That's why I want to know, in addition to that. Okay, you know, I know that the call that Carmen did, no offense, Carm, I was listening, but it was talking about online marketing, network marketing, right? Well,
yeah.
I'll tell you, so your daughter is already getting involved, but you're concerned, you know, this is the thing I'm getting. What I'm getting is this. I see a male energy around this is not very positive, for one. And this whole situation feels like it's very unconventional. And I'm not saying unconventional is bad. In this situation, it is. It's not on a conventional, it's not on the conventional way of how people, entrepreneurs, would approach and launch or embark in a new business project. There's something going on here, and I see her within the next 8 weeks appearing to be very much self-imprisoned with this, and meaning she doesn't know how to let go, get out. And I'm not saying this is a bad thing, because, you know, the way I read also, every negative can be a positive. It may be that she needs to go through this and find her way herself, but I feel that you have some insight, definitely. You appear like a very successful woman. And not just because you are, you know, walking around going, hey, there's an air about you, it is who you are. You're very good. The only real bad thing about you, your expectations are so high, that you can really get down on yourself with nobody knowing. But you can touch anything. You're very intelligent, but you don't worship money. You're intelligent and you like success, but you're very grounded with it. Are you, is that who you are? Don't be shy.
I like that.
Well, no, I'm not just trying. This is your reading. You don't say thank you, because I'm just trying to feel, I feel this is you. And I feel that maybe there's some reflection, there's a direct reflection on you around this for your daughter. And your way of guiding her, not hovering over her, you know, letting her do what she needs to do in order to find her your way, you know. There's a negative woman energy around this and a negative man around this whole situation. I feel it might be a lesson, but you, on the other hand, boy, if she went to you, you two together could do some fantastic business. You're a visionary. You're a woman with vision. Absolutely.
I hope so.
Well,
I think I am.
You might say, you don't have to be shy. Let me ask you this. Are you a woman with vision?
Yes, I am.
Okay, there you have it. And your daughter is like, you would like to see her, you know, watch you, and you have integrity. But what I feel about you is also positive. The people around her, just doubt, you know, we're colored by those who are around us, our environment, people in the walls, whatever. There's some really, like, there's some energy that's just not real positive here to be able to succeed in anything except torment. Now, it may also be that this might be just the thing she might need, because this is crazy making is what I call it.
Okay.
But I don't see you judging her, which is very nice.
Okay.
Are you not judging her? I don't see it.
No. I want to help her.
I'm not sure
if this is the right thing for her.
Well, are there other people involved? Like I'm seeing here, the other people. Well, I guess so. You did say in the beginning, she's heading towards you, and that's exactly where she needs to go.
Okay.
I really feel that she's going to get something from this, because she is self-imprisonment. Sometimes, you know, you have to go to that place.
Yeah.
Every negative can be a positive. You'll rise to the occasion later. And, you know, Forbes, I love to have Forbes said, the ones who are The ones who make it were the ones who are too stupid to stop. You know, and
okay,
you,
I and, like that too.
Yeah, I thought you might, because that's who you are. Your daughter, I think, is trying to learn to get a perspective on what this, what success is and what all that stuff is. You have already attained that. Like I said, you don't worship money, but you sure manage it well. And you, anything you, you put your mind to, you, it's successful.
Okay.
You know, it is. And that's something you should be proud of. And so if you can't do something perfect in one little thing, don't be too hard on yourself. But let you, be there for your daughter. But I feel that you two will be going on your way to do something later. But I feel she'll be fine getting through this.
Okay, that sounds great.
I hope I helped you. She'll be okay. It's
okay,
a lesson.
Thank
here.
You very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Maureen.
Thank you.
And if you'd like to get a more in-depth reading from Maureen, Stephen, Carmen, or anybody who's on the show, or anybody, you know, that you'd, you know, a little more further information, you can visit us at psychicaccess.com, and we would love to hear from you. So, you guys, pretty interesting show, huh?
Yes, it was. It was.
Pretty interesting.
I love
questions.
And Carmen, it was lovely having you with us.
It was nice having Carmen as
it
our
was nice.
Guest host.
Nice having a girl power thing going on here.
I know, it's all girl power. Yay!
And Stephen's just,
sorry, Stephen.
Stephen's loving every bit of it. He
is don't expect me to complain.
Well, yes, he just likes being. He likes being Stephen in the middle, right?
Absolutely. It doesn't take a psychic to realize that. I mean, I'm in hog heaven, literally. Because, of, you know, what we do is inherently feminine.
You're after every one of us.
Best psychic.
You want us all.
Especially the mediums.
Yes, that's exactly right. It's feminine in the sense that it's magnetic. It pulls itself in. You know, the masculine. And it's lunar. We've forgotten how to properly respect the lunar. Exactly what we have.
Right,
once the solar religions kicked in, Christianity, Judaism,
okay,
Islam.
We're remedying. Stephen, we have remedied that.
New remedied. Word. Is that a word? Remedized?
Yes, it's my new word.
Oh, I like your new word. Okay.
I lay on y'all's altar.
All right. Well, this brings us to the end of yet another wonderful show. Thank you, Doug, who works behind the scenes and keeps us on track as our executive producer. And thank you to my co-hosts for joining me tonight. Next week's show will be hosted by Steve. And Steve has a very interesting guest. It's Karen Lessler. And she's going to be talking about spirit photography. Isn't that going to be another interesting thing?
Definitely, especially with the digital format. I wonder what that's like.
I don't know how she's going to do it, but it's spirit photography with Karen Lessler, and she's also a professional architecture and freelance photographer.
Fascinating. That'll be fantastic.
So
yeah, that'll be great.
We can say our goodbyes.
Yeah. Well, goodbye. Good night.
Goodbye.
Adieu.
Adieu.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.